Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we're going to continue our study on Isaiah chapters 18, 19, and 20.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we believe and trust your word. We want to grow in you more each day and to understand your promises for us. We commit our time together to you and ask that you heal and restore us as we dive into your word. We want a deeper faith. We want to meet with you and know you better. So today we say yes to what you want to show us as we read scripture. Amen.
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 Okay, so 18, 19, and 20. They're short, but a lot. There's a lot going on. So the Lord's message to Cush. I'm just going to jump right in. So remember, God's starting, you know, he's judging all these nations, right? So now we're at Cush, and Cush is in Ethiopia, and Ethiopia was a major, it was a big, powerful nation. And so he, here he's getting ready to judge Cush. Woe to the land of buzzing insects, insect wings beyond the rivers of Cush, which sends envoys by sea. And that's the Nile Valley. It was known for all its bugs and insects. And reed vessels over the water. Go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth skin, to a people feared far and near, a powerful nation with a strange language, whose land is divided by rivers. So the tall and smooth skinned people were the Egyptians and the Ethiopians. And they were, Judah was caught between, there was a conflict. The Assyrians were coming, and Judah was caught between the Assyrians and the Ethiopia. And so that's the picture here that that we're getting. All you inhabitants of the world, and you who live in the on the earth, when a banner is raised on the mountains, look. When a ram's horn sounds, listen. For the Lord said to me, I will quietly look out from my place like shimmering heat in sunshine, like a rain cloud in harvest heat. For before the harvest, when the blossoming is over, and the blossom becomes ripening, a ripening grape, he will cut off the shoots with the pruning knife and tear away and remove the branches. They will all be left for the birds of prey on the hills and for the wild animals of the land. So here, Cush is trying to, it sends ambassadors. It says, which sends envoys by sea. So it's sending people or ambassadors by sea to Judah to try and convince them to rebel against the Assyrians. And then the Judah is contemplating whether they should or not, because they're caught between the Assyrians and Cush. So so Judah sends messengers back as they're contemplating to align with them against the Assyrians. So, but God rejects this. He rejects this alliance. You know, and where it reads, when a ram's horn sounds, listen. When a banner is raised on the mountains, look. Because God doesn't need anybody to protect Judah. Remember, Judah's his chosen. So he's more than capable of protecting them and dealing with any of their enemies. But here Judah is panicking, and they're contemplating whether to join the Ethiopians and Egyptians against the Assyrians, but God's rejecting that plan. And you know, and they know from before how God helped them, you know, helped Judah previously. They know all that, and that's why, you know, God is saying, do you see a banner raised? Do you see a right? You know, like all he has to do is raise a banner or or sound the trumpet to call somebody, right?
Right. To come,
because remember, God's always in control.
And then we kind of see where that fear takes in. And it's like,
yes,
once that fear hits, they forget about God and they want to take control. Well, we want to take control of our lives, right?
And that's what that we're going to see in these three chapters. So he's saying here that Cush is going to fall. At that time, a gift will be brought to the Lord of armies from a people tall and smooth skin, which is the Ethiopians, a people feared far and near, a powerful nation with a strange language whose land is divided by rivers to Mount Zion, the place of the name, the Lord of armies. So here we see, then Isaiah in that last paragraph, that those last few verses, starting with 7, Isaiah does another one of those prophecies that kind of happen there, you know, that happened at that time, but could possibly happen again later. And he's talking about that a gift will be brought to the Lord of armies from a people tall, smooth in skin to Mount Zion, a place of the name of the Lord of armies. So it's announcing a time when the Ethiopians will come worship God. And I was reading, and some of the commentaries said that that was fulfilled in Acts, the Ethiopian woman. And I think that's the one that we saw in Chosen, right? Isn't she?
She is.
Right?
Well, she's Egyptian.
Egyptian, well, no, right?
Guess,
because
yeah.
It's all kind of the same. It's like the Ethiopia. Yeah, it's a bunch of small nations together, which includes Cush and Egypt. That's how I understood it. So, some of the commentaries were saying that was already fulfilled in Acts, but you're going to see where that's going to come up again later in the next chapter in 20. So that a time's going to come with it, because at this time they don't believe in God, right? They have their own idols and all that stuff. So, but this is kind of telling us there's going to come a time when they will come worship God.
Right.
Okay, so Isaiah 19, a pronouncement against Egypt. So now we're going to learn about the judgment coming against Egypt. Look, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. Egypt's worthless idols will tremble before him, and Egypt will lose heart. I will provoke Egyptians against Egyptians. Each will fight against his brother and each against his friend. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. So like a civil war, right? They're all going to be fighting against each other. And remember, the Egyptians were all these nations were at one time friends with Israel and Judah, and at other times they were enemies. So there were times when they found refuge in there, and there were times when they were enemies fighting each other. So, but here we're seeing where God is saying that there's going to be a civil war within Egypt. Egypt's spirit will be disturbed within it, and I will frustrate its plans. Then they will inquire of worthless idols, ghosts, mediums, and spiritists. I will hand over Egypt to harsh masters, and a strong king will rule it. So here we see where the Lord is saying that he's going to strike Egypt. He's going to strike Egypt, and he will knock over many of their idols, you know, because they have many idols. And we saw that in the four plagues. Remember when in Exodus, when he used those idols against them, it was the frog and the cattle, wow, the boils, and then the loaded, the insects, the, what do you call it?
The locust.
The locust. I said the lotus, the locust.
Oh, the plagues. Okay. I thought you meant idols. Okay.
No, well, he used their idols. Those were part of the plagues, remember? Because their idols were the frog. Like, they worshiped the frog for something.
Oh,
the cattle represented
yes.
something else. And then, you know, they had a god for the medicine, for healing. They had, like, all these different gods for different things. But he tells them here that he's going to knock their idols over. And we saw that in Exodus.
Right.
This is a declaration of the Lord God of armies. The water of the sea will dry up and the river will be parched and dry. The channels will stink. They will dwindle and Egypt's canals will be parched. Reed and rush will wilt. The reeds by the Nile, by the mouth of the river, and all the cultivated areas of the Nile will wither, blow away, and vanish. Then the fishermen will mourn, and all those who cast hooks in the Nile will lament. And those who spread nets on the water will give up. Those who work with flax will be dismayed. Those combing it and weaving linen will turn pale. So there's going to be a drought. He's saying there's going to be a drought, and it's going to affect their agriculture. It's going to affect the fishermen. So he's telling them that all this that's coming. Egypt's weavers will be dejected, and all her wage earners will be demoralized. The princes of Zoan are complete fools. Pharaoh's wisest advisors give stupid advice. How can you say to Pharaoh, I am one of the wise, a student of Eastern kings? Where then are your wise men? Let them tell you and reveal what the Lord of armies has planned against Egypt. Remember, from Egypt is where the kings came, the wise men, you know? So they had a lot of wise, like some of the smartest, the wisest people. But he's telling them here, because remember, I'm going to hand you over to harsh master. So he's going to replace their king with harsh, their Pharaoh with the harsh master, a cruel master. But then even then, that master is going to have foolish counsel. So the advice and counsel they'll be receiving is going to be stupid advice. His Pharaoh's wisest advisors give stupid advice. And then he's going to confuse them, because he says, let them tell you and reveal what the Lord of armies has planned against Egypt. The prince of Zoan have been fools. The princes of Memphis are deceived. Her tribal chieftains have led Egypt astray. The Lord has mixed within her a spirit of confusion. And the leaders have made Egypt stagger in all she does, as a drunkard staggers in his vomit. So not only has he replaced their ruler, mm-hmm. the ruler now has foolish counsel, and they're all confused and they're staggering. And that just goes to show us how God controls all
That's
of
that. What I was going to say. Yep. And not only controlling it, but he's warning them.
Yes.
So it's
he's
not like they
them.
Didn't know. They just didn't want to believe it until it happens to them. Then they're all like, what's going on? I mean, they knew beforehand.
Yep. And this is Isaiah prophesying. So he's prophesying to Judah, the Jews. And so he's giving them this warning. Mm-hmm. So all these people that you're contemplating on aligning, you know, going, trusting them and aligning yourself with them as, you know, a foreign alliance. He's telling them, this is what's going to come. No head or tail, palm or reed will be able to do anything for Egypt. Egypt will know the Lord. On that day, Egypt will be like women and will tremble with fear because of the threatening hand of the Lord of armies when he raises it against them. The land of Judah will terrify Egypt. Whenever Judah is mentioned, Egypt will tremble because of what the Lord of armies has planned against it. On that day, five cities in the land. Okay, so before I start 18, he's saying with a wave of a hand, they're going to be afraid. They're going to be so afraid, right? They're going to be scared. They're going to be trembling like women. And here's Egypt that was pretty big before. Here you have this power. You know, Egypt was known for their power. Now they're scrambling, they're confused, and they're afraid.
They're stumbling, yeah.
Yeah. So then, and then on 18, we get another of Isaiah's prophecies that it looks to like it's going to be in the future. Like I couldn't find any confirmation that it had already happened. And it's where God saves Egypt. On that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear loyalty to the Lord of armies. One of the cities will be called the City of the Sun. On that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the center of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord near her border. It will be a sign and witness to the Lord of armies in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, he will send them a savior and leader. because remember, they have their own gods. They don't believe in God. They have all their idols and all that stuff. So now the prophecy is saying that they're going to be, the tables have turned. They're now afraid of Judah and they're turning to God. He will send them a savior and a leader, and he will rescue them. The Lord will make himself known to Egypt, and Egypt will know the Lord on that day. They will offer sacrifices and offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and fulfill them. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing. So we know that one, right? When striking and healing. Then they will turn to the Lord, and he will be receptive to their prayers and heal them. On that day, there will be... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say right there, that last verse in scripture tells you exactly how he, even though we're enemies, he'll accept us.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Forgiveness and repentance. It's like, this was his enemies, you know?
Yep. Remember, they were always, and they're, you know, they were pagans, you know?
Yeah, right. And he'll be receptive to them and heal them, like, and that's beautiful.
And striking and healing, because he's gonna, you know, I like to see striking and healing, because he's to me, that's like teaching and healing, you know. On that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. Assyria will go to Egypt, Egypt to Assyria, and Egypt will worship with Assyria. So there's going to be a bridge, a highway, and there's going to be trade and travel between Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. There's going to be peace. So that's why I think that this is to come, where there's going to be peace between Israel and its enemies.
So it hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
On that day, Israel will form a triple alliance with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing within the land. The Lord of armies will bless them, saying, Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance, are blessed.
Oh.
And I love how he says my inheritance for Israel, because, you know, that's like the apple of his eye, like his riches, you know, my inheritance. But look, he says, Egypt, my people, and Assyria, my handiwork.
So he's still claiming everybody.
He's claiming everybody. Yes. Yep.
So would we be where? Inheritance?
I would hope in Israel.
I know, me too. Or his handiwork.
I hope we're Israel.
I want to be an inheritance, please.
Because, you know, and Assyria was one of the worst. They were like some of the cruelest and like inhumane nations. They would come in. They were doing like some of the scariest stuff when they came in, and they took over a nation and took them captive. Like, they were killing like women and children. Like, there was no mercy there, you know.
So his handiwork could mean, look how evil these people were, but with his hand, with his working and teaching, you know, forgiving them, and he changed their hearts and brought them. So that's okay.
So, like, in the same way that we see with Jesus and like the Samaritans and the Gentiles and all of them, right? Like, it's not just the chosen people, the Israel. It's also these other, you know, the people from these other nations.
What it kind of brings me to the scripture when we spoke, I think we did a podcast and you spoke about the women. Some of the women, there was a Gentile woman that went to him. She wanted healing for her daughter. And he I got to feed the children. But she's like, even the dogs need crumbs.
Yes, exactly. So
it's almost like that, so right?
I think it's exactly like that. I think this is another, you know, because we see a lot of repetitiveness, the same thing over and over in scripture, right and I think this is a perfect example of that. So Isaiah 20, no help from Cush or Egypt. So this is the sign of 3 years. In the year that the chief commander sent by King Sargon of Assyria came to Ashdod and attacked and captured it, during that time the Lord has spoken through Isaiah, son of Amos, saying, Go take off your sackcloth from your waist and remove the sandals from your feet. And he did that. Going stripped and barefoot, the Lord said, as my servant Isaiah has gone stripped and barefoot 3 years as a sign and omen against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will lead the captives of Egypt and the exiles of Cush, young and old alike, stripped and barefoot with bare buttocks, to Egypt's shame. So here, remember how, and we saw this with Ezekiel too, and we saw it in Hosea. God is using this to provide the people of Judah with the vision of the judgment and the humiliation and the shame that's coming to Egypt, that they will be captured by the Assyrians and they will be stripped and taken as prisoners barefoot and naked. Mm-hmm. So Isaiah he told Isaiah to strip, but that he still kept his undergarments on, but to strip and barefoot for 3 years to walk around saying that that's what's going to happen. So it's a sign for and a warning for Judah that, hey, these people that you think you can trust are going to be captured. Mm-hmm. They're going to be taken as prisoners, naked and barefoot, you know, in shame. So he's giving them this as a warning. So, and then he goes on, who made Cush, so to Egypt's shame, those who made Cush their hope and Egypt their boast will be dismayed and ashamed. And the inhabitants of this coastland will say on that day, look, this is what has happened to those who relied on and fled to for help to rescue us from the king of Assyria. Now, how will we escape? So they're seeing, look, this is what happened to those. This is what's going to happen to those who rely on the Egyptians, who rely on a foreign alliance instead of trusting in the Lord. This is what's going to happen to them. And so they're seeing this because they already saw where Assyria captured Ashdod, and the Egyptians didn't help them. Mm-hmm. So now they're seeing this and they're like, well, now how will we escape?
Right.
You know?
And that's like us now, right? We put our hope in the world. We hope that our friends or the judges, when people want to go for divorce, they put their hope in them to make things right. Yeah.
How are we going to
escape this? And will we escape through with Jesus, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think we're all presented with this choice at one point or another, because I always see Judah as the last Christian standing, you know, like the last believer standing, you know, surrounded by all these pagan nations or non-believers, mm-hmm. right? Or mixed with, you know, believers who are unfaithful.
Right.
Because you have Israel, like they're believers, they know, mm-hmm. but they choose to reject God and be unfaithful. They choose to be unfaithful, right?
Right, right.
Because they're doing whatever they want, right? So I always see Judah as the last man standing, the last Christian standing. And here they're the last one standing, and God's telling them either you stay faithful to me, you choose me, you trust mm-hmm. me.
Right.
Or if you choose them, and you see what's going to happen, you know the consequences, you choose them.
Right.
It's going to cost you. There's a price.
Yes. Yes.
You know? So.
And price is a separation from them and God, or from us and God. And that's, you know, death.
It leads them astray. Yeah. And they're taking prisoner. They're taking prisoner. Right. They're humiliated and put to shame.
Yeah.
And And I think that that happens to us, because when we want to panic, right? Like you said, that fear, and we want to give into that panic, and we want to compromise, you know, because we're like, well, now what do I do? How will I escape? Because everything seems so much bigger than God.
Right. Right. And you get, your mind gets clouded. And exactly, we think our problems are bigger, but God's bigger than everything.
Yeah, exactly. And we see how, I mean, look at the details that God gives them, you know, right. And how he shows, I'm in control. Why won't you trust me? If you remain faithful to me, you know, trust yeah. me, I will protect you, you know, and even still, they don't see, I think we make yeah. God so small, yeah. and we make all of that so much bigger, you know, because right. they're more afraid of man than of yeah. God.
You know, I'm studying Exodus all over again and just reading it. You know, he went by cloud by day, fire by night. He led them through the wilderness, he rescued them from the Pharaoh through the Red Sea. And it's like, wow, they were still complaining and complaining. And it's like, all he asked for was follow my commands, be faithful. Yeah. You want meat? Here's your meat. You want bread? Yeah. Here's your bread. And they were still complaining. And yeah. then he went even above and beyond because he tells Moses, have them, you know, shower, wash, come. I'm going to speak to you, but they're going to hear me. And then they didn't want that. It's like, man, yeah. you had him, you could hear him. And they still were like, no, we just want to talk to you. We're afraid yeah. of him. It's like, yes. wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yep. It's just reading it again and seeing it from a different view, because now that I know him, you know, I've been reading of him, you know, just everything with my relationship. In the beginning, I would just read through my early stages of my journey. And now as I'm already made 2 years with walking with Jesus, and it's like everything's so much different reading right. Exodus. I was like, man, I wish he was right here in a cloud speaking to me, like, come on, wake up, people.
Oh, it's frustrating, but at the same time I could remember feeling that fear, feeling that panic, right. you know, where everything for seems sure. bigger, because it seems easy when you say, well, stay faithful to God, but
yeah.
you know, because it's really, we're presented with that choice. And I think we're presented with that choice over yeah. and over, either stay faithful to Christ or face his divine discipline. And people ignore the divine discipline. You know, they just mm-hmm. think, well, you know,
whatever,
they,
yeah,
whatever. And they just go yeah. on about whatever. Well, I didn't have no other choice. But we do, we have a choice, and it is a choice yeah. that we have to make. And we have to, you know, when you do stand faithful, I think that the peace and the joy and that comes with that, you know, is just
outweighs everything else,
everything else, yeah. everything else. And it can feel very lonely, you know, and you could, right. you can feel very small. Because you think that there's no one else that
maybe understands that you
understand or believes in Christ anymore. Because mm-hmm. you kind of feel that now, like nobody really believes in Christ anymore. And when everybody's yeah. telling you the opposite, you know, like do this or do that, or you should do this or you should do that. And you're not going to God. Well, yeah, things can get really scary and they can get really confusing, but
right.
When you choose to stand firm and to believe in Christ and you give him that chance to show himself to you, you know, it's just there's nothing like it.
And it's not easy.
It's not easy.
I don't think I struggle with the faith. I think I struggle with sometimes I forget and I want to take control on what God's yeah. not doing at that moment, you know, and the faith is there and it's just hard. It's hard to be. You're defeated at times, right? Like there's days where I feel so defeated mm-hmm. and then there's days where I'm on cloud nine with him, right? And it's a struggle, but it's, you always read, it's so worth it in the end. Like keep walking. You it's not a mistake. Right. You don't hear somebody saying, I made a mistake by walking with Christ.
Well, and I think when that's, yeah, so true. Very true. And I think when we can't see it, you know, like it's easy for us to we don't see it as being unfaithful to Christ. I think we put it like on a, like it's not important, right. we put it on the back burner, right. but I think it's because I think we don't hear it enough too, you know, yeah. and why it's so important to share the gospel and what God has done for us in our lives, because you just don't hear that anymore. And I can remember like not really knowing, not really seeing that choice, you know, like right. you're, at not recognizing that what choice I had to make, but after choosing to stand firm, like, man, I'm so glad, like, no regrets, no regrets at all.
Right.
And he warns us. We see that where he warns us, you know, because he's warning them here, and the detail that, yeah, that he's giving. And even then, he's warning us now too about what's to come in the future, because some of these haven't been fulfilled yet.
Yeah. And I think what's hard is sometimes we think, well, I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. And it's like, well, go to God and let him show you, because we're all sinners. I don't think,
right,
we're, you know,
no, I we agree. Can
do things good, but at the same time, you know, our mind could think something else, or our heart can be somewhere else.
Well, and it's easy to be a follower. You know, sometimes we think
right,
we're not, but it's easy to be a follower when we're scared, you know?
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and he does provide a way out. I think that we need to listen to why it's so important to listen to him and to choose him, mm-hmm, and to show us the way out, because we don't see a way out, but he does provide a way out, and that's why he gives us those warnings.
And he will right the wrongs, for sure.
Like, yep.
I've seen that from, you know, just think reminiscing about that yesterday, about all the, so far, like, what was wrong, he's definitely making right in our lives. And it's like, and it makes you in awe of him even more.
Yeah. Yep. And I think, you know, we put him into a box, we don't give him a chance. You know, I think, right, if I can give you a takeaway, is don't try to come up with this, your own solutions. Don't look at your problem, right, and, you know, and try to provide a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your problem, give him your problem, but right, let him give you the solution. Cause I think that's right, where we get stuck, because we want to know the details. Well, how are you going to fix it? Forget that, you know, right, like, just take it right to him. And cause he knows how to fix it, you know, well, and he will show you.
And we look at scripture. He did tell these people in advance and they didn't listen, so maybe he's trying something new by just have faith in me, like he did with Abraham, right sacrifice.
And he won't, and he's son. He doesn't remember, he's never going to give you all the details. He wants you to trust in him, to follow him, yeah, and then he shows you,
yeah,
so he's not going to provide the full plan for you. And even then we might not even understand it, you know, but that's mm-hmm. that's the awe of it, right.
And going back to what you said about putting him in a box, remember, you can't pick and choose where you want him in your life.
Yeah.
You can't work here, mm-hmm. but not here. It doesn't work that way. You know,
right,
if you're going to open your door, let him into the whole house, not just the living room.
A room. Yeah, no, I agree. But I thought, wow, we could really relate to these three chapters.
There's a lot. Yeah.
But that's it. That's 18, 19, and 20.
Okay, well, again, I was saying, you know, reading on Exodus again, I liked Exodus. It's chapter 15. It's part of Israel's song. I'll read chapter 15, verse 11. Lord, who is like you among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, revered with praises, performing wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. With your faithful love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. You will guide them to your holy dwelling with your strength. Amen.
Amen. That was perfect.
Amen. Yes, it was. And thank you, everybody, for joining the Secret is Prayer podcast. My mind went blank there for a second. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.